And as we continue here on today's Agriculture of America, our show is powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected with Cenex Premium Diesel, along with their lubricants and greases. They'll have the right product for your operation. Contact your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more. Well, joining us right now, pleased to welcome him back to the show, Tom Brink with Top Dollar Angus. Tom, it's good to talk with you again, sir. Hope all is well.
Jesse, it's going well. Thanks for having me on this morning with Doug, too.
Well, and I was going to say, you mentioned it. We have a special guest joining you as we're going to be talking about a white paper that you guys have put out. Doug Stevenson from Basin Angus Ranch. Doug, welcome to the show. Hope all is well.
Yes, all is well. Thank you for having me on.
I'd love to, Tom, maybe start with you. Give folks some background on this white paper that you guys just released at the end of March. Angus Marbling 2.0. Set this up for folks. What are we talking about here?
Well, Jesse, it's very interesting times in the cattle business, of course, and one of the things that most all of your listeners will be aware of is how much the quality of beef has improved in the last couple decades. And we just got to looking at, we all know the Angus breed is the largest breed, and it's a marbling breed, and they have been increasing their marbling substantially from a genetic standpoint over the last couple decades. And so we got to looking and studying that, and we thought we would just put some information around that and put it out to the industry, because it's been a tremendous trend. There's been a lot of benefits, and I was happy to be able to recruit some industry, very knowledgeable people like Doug Stevenson to help us with that paper.
What were maybe some of the key takeaways, Tom, before we bring Doug in to get his thoughts, because I know he answered a number of the questions that you guys asked here. Maybe what was one of the biggest key takeaways overall as you talked with folks and surveyed folks across the industry, Tom?
Well, you bet. I think one of the main ones, Jesse, is just how rapidly the genetic ability to marble is increasing in the Angus breed. So that has been something. We have a graph in the white paper that shows that really, if you go back to the mid-70s to about 1995, so that period of 20 years, there was not much increase. But in the 25 years since then, and since the EPDs have been used more actively, we're seeing a very consistent uptrend in Angus marbling ability from a genetic standpoint. And of course, that flows out into commercial cattle and has a big impact on the industry. And it's part of why better beef demand has been enjoyed by our business the last couple decades. Certainly has had a lot to do with that. And it feeds into a lot of other things too. But there was a lot of good things that came out of the questions that we asked and the answers we got from our respondents and participants like Doug.
Well, let's get Doug into this conversation. And there was five different questions that Tom and his team asked of folks. And as you looked at these questions, Doug, maybe just in general, what were some of the thoughts that you had and some of your perspective on this this research and this survey that they put together, Doug?
Well, over a lifetime of producing Angus cattle, I've always had in my mind that we need to keep the consumer in mind. We need to provide the end consumer the product that they want. And as cattle breeders, we get involved in a lot of other things. We look at so many other aspects of production. And at times in the past, we sort of lost focus on what that end consumer wanted. And I really enjoyed being involved with this project and taking the time to study and think on those questions that Tom presented. And because it's been basically a lifetime of thinking that this is the goal, that we need to do everything else right, but we need to make that end product that the consumer wants and the consumer will pay additional dollars for. And I think there's a lot of things that go into it. In reality, it's been increasing demand for the better quality product for quite a few years. But really, I think there was an interesting phenomena with COVID and the supply chain issues and the prime grade beef that ended up in supermarkets, and more consumers got access to that very, very best quality beef. And I think that was a game changer for us for moving forward.
Well, I know one of the questions that was here was, what will the future bring for marbling in the Angus breed and implications for the industry? That was the fifth question out of the five. And, you know, Doug, you raise a great point about consumers and, you know, getting consumers to understand these great cuts that are out there in their grocery stores and at the meat counter and things of that nature. And I've said this from time to time on this show here recently when I've had these types of conversations, that meat in general seems like it's having a moment here post-COVID, and it's continuing to have a moment. So when you think about what the future could bring, and as you look through this white paper and more, I mean, what's your perspective on where we're at now, Doug, and what the future might hold as we progress forward here?
Oh, I think that we definitely have to continue to push for making the very best quality product we can. We've really seen a trend that bucks traditional supply and demand, the idea that as we make more of a certain product, we're going to overrun demand. Well, that's not been the case with top quality protein. What we've definitely seen, more access to that very best product has increased demand for that very best product.
Well, Tom, I'll come back to you. From what Doug is talking about here, what would you add on to what he's saying as we think about the future, for instance, and some of the other takeaways you had from your research with this white paper? What's your thoughts as we look ahead to the future here, Tom?
I think I would very much agree with what Doug said and piggyback on that. I mean, the expectation by a lot of people would be, as we have increased the percent choice and upper two-thirds choice in prime, that the spreads would narrow versus lower quality beef, and they really haven't done that. And there's still some seasonal variation, but during most of the year, those premiums are very strong, and I think it goes back to what Doug said. We've exposed more people to better beef, and they like it. And they're willing to pay for it. And we kind of looked at this both from the demand side, but also from the Angus breed perspective. The Angus breed has actually been increasing marbling more rapidly than ever in the past, and that's because the selection tools are there and the genetics are there in the cattle to continue to improve it. One of the interesting things that I was surprised to learn, Jesse, was that in the last 10 years, the Angus breed's improvement in marbling ability was three times faster than it was the previous 10 years. And so it's going vertical almost, so to speak, in terms of the improvement in marbling ability. And we named the white paper Marbling 2.0 or Angus Marbling 2.0 as kind of a play on words. We are seeing some bulls and females in the Angus breed now that have marbling EPDs at 2.0 and even some above, which is just amazing marbling levels that can change cattle rapidly. Lower marbling cattle can be changed very rapidly using those kind of genetics. And that was something that our contributors mentioned and talked a lot about.
Well, I know we're going to post a link up to this white paper on our website at agricultureofamerica.com. And again, this is great things to think about, great research. I'd love final thoughts from both of you gentlemen here. Doug, I'll start with you. Just, again, as you've worked with Tom on this and continue to watch as things evolve and continue to grow in the industry as a whole, what are some final reminders you'd have for folks listening in today?
It's really important that we continue to improve that quality of the product that we're putting out. At the same time, we have to be really careful as producers that we don't single trait select. And the great thing about the position we're in now is that we've got the genetics available that will push that envelope on marbling. That it wasn't very many years ago we thought about, boy, someday there's going to be a marbling EPD of 2 and higher. Well, to start with, as we push that envelope, it is some single trait selection that gets you there. But what sustains the progress is cattle that do everything else right. Cattle that do the core of what beef cattle need to do. Beef cattle need to utilize the low quality roughage, raising a cow herd that isn't used for something else, but then still have the genetic potential to have that steer go on feed and make prime. And it's really important as breeders that we don't single trait select. We've got to do all of it right, but we have the tools available to make those selections, and we've got the quality of cattle that are able to reach that new target while doing everything right. And I think that's key to how we move forward.
Good thoughts. Tom, anything final you would add for folks here today?
One thing I would throw in there too, and Doug has made some great points here, is we're seeing an industry that is becoming more connected segment to segment. And some of that is actually discussed in the white paper. And I think it's also a more transparent industry in that we know more about cattle sources and how well they do as they go downstream and fulfill the consumer demand. Do they do a good job in the feed yard? Do they do a good job in the packing plant? And then on to the consumer. And so I just encourage cow-calf producers to get ready for more of that. I mean, the people that are producing superior value cattle are getting rewarded more and more all the time, and you don't want to see people left behind in that. And the neat thing about the availability of high marbling genetics in the Angus breed today is you can change a mediocre cow herd very quickly if you need to do some catch-up. In fact, one of our contributors said exactly that. They said if you're in a you find yourself in a situation where you need to do some catch-up on marbling because it is an important economic trait, then you can do that pretty rapidly. Just pay attention to it and keep some balance, like Doug said as well. But, you know, the bottom line point I would say to Jesse is that the beef industry is winning. We're winning the demand battle, and we know the formula that got us here, and it was higher quality beef. And so we do need to keep pressing that direction. And especially that bottom third to bottom quarter of our population that isn't grading as well as they should be, the Angus genetic resource that is out there and available can really help that.
Fantastic. Well, again, that white paper, we're going to post a link to it on our website, agricultureofamerica.com. Folks can take a look at it there. You know, gentlemen, before I let you both go, we got a couple of minutes left here. I would just love, in general, some perspective on what we're seeing with this cattle industry right now. I mean, you know, futures price-wise, I mean, we're hitting some key levels again. I know the cash market remains pretty hot and steady. I'd love for both of you to maybe just share some general thoughts on some of what we continue to see across cattle country here throughout the industry. Tom, Doug, I'll whoever wants to take that first, but general thoughts on what we continue to see right now?
Sure, I can go first on that one. And I think, you know, we all know we're in very, very tight supplies, and that the transition toward expansion herd growth is very slow. I think we are starting to see the front edges of heifer retention, but of course people remember that when heifer retention really starts to kick in, that's actually the most bullish part from the supply side of the cycle. And so we're seeing heifer slaughter drop in 2026. There again, there's a little bit of retention probably starting, but it takes time. And so I see a market that continues to be very elevated. Doesn't mean we're not going to see some volatility and some moments when we have significant breaks, just like what we've seen off and on the last 6 months or so. But the fundamentals look very strong, and demand, like we were talking, demand is good.
Doug, any thoughts there?
Yeah, so definitely the ball is in our court to continue to make the quality right and the product right to keep demand where it's been. and or to increase. We're in a our industry is cyclical. We will see ups and downs, but I think that we're at a different level that is going to be the baseline from which we operate going forward. There is going to be expansion. Expansion will be slower, and expansion will be limited, in large part because of the aging workforce available in the beef industry. Till we find more young people to be able to bring back into production agriculture, there's going to be a limit on how much we can, how much expansion we can see in the cow herd. And that couples in with the cyclical nature that we're going to be at a new baseline moving forward. There will be ups and downs, but we have reached a new plateau.
Well, I appreciate the perspective from both of you on that. As we close out, I know, Doug, if folks want to learn more about what you guys do there, Basin Angus Ranch in Montana, you guys have a website, basinangus.com. Folks can get more information there, can't they?
Yes, yes. There's information there, some history about the place, and our family, and contact information. We always enjoy visiting with producers anywhere in the country and always enjoy having visitors to our place.
Fantastic. Well, and Tom, over on your side, I know topdollarangus.com. That's a great way for folks to learn more about what you guys have going on there at Top Dollar, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. You know, it sure is. And like Doug said, too, we're always excited to. We work with a lot of folks in all segments of the business, from seed stock all the way through packers. We work with a lot of cattle feeders, and so we're glad to visit, and give us a call anytime.
Well, we appreciate both of you taking some time out to visit with us here today on AOA. And again, that white paper, Angus Marbling 2.0, folks will be able to find a link to that on our website and more. With that, we'll let you both go. Tom Brink, Top Dollar Angus, Doug Stevenson, Basin Angus Ranch. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us here on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.